When I first began to think about preparing for this service, the concept that I ran across that helped me understand the relationship between compassion, equity, and justice was a quote by Reverend Emily Gage of one of the fellowships in Chicago. And she mused that compassion is something that we can easily act on individually. We can demonstrate openness, give people respect, and treat people with kindness on our own. But we need one another to achieve equity and justice. This principle gets at collective responsibility. It reminds us that treating people as human beings is not something we do one-on-one, but something that has systemic implications and can inform our entire cultural way of being. So let's look first at compassion. The etymology of compassion, etymology, guys, means the history of the word, where the word root comes from. So the etymology of compassion is to suffer with. An article by the Clinical Psychology Review suggests that compassion consists of three facets: noticing, feeling, and responding. Essentially, compassion is really a verb, not a noun, because it embodies those action words: noticing, feeling, responding. And I'm going to add one more: learning. The willingness to learn opens our minds and makes us curious, which means we then have more capacity to notice, feel, and respond. I started to write out what I thought compassion looked like. And then, realizing that someone had probably done this before, I went searching for something that somebody else probably wrote that was going to be a lot better than what I could write on my own. And I found a children's picture book that exemplifies what compassion looks like, I think, for most of us. And it exemplifies it in action. So this book that I'll read from next is called I Am Love, A Book of Compassion by Susan Verde. When I see someone going through a storm of hurt and unfairness, of anger and sadness, when the sun disappears and the skies grow dark, and I see there is fear, I ask myself, what can I do to help let the light back in? I put my hands on my heart and listen, and that is where I find the answer. I have compassion. I act with tenderness. I am love. I can listen and not say a word. I can be there. Love is being present. I can hug and hold and say, everything will be all right. Love is comfort. I can speak softly and choose my words and actions carefully. Love is gentle. I can give thanks for all I have and am able to share. Love is gratitude. I can keep my mind and body safe and healthy. Love is taking care of me. I can express what's important to me. Love is creative. I know that no one is perfect. Love is understanding. I can do my best to make things better when something is wrong. Love is effort. I can celebrate those I've loved before. Love is remembering. I can find goodness in a kind word, a helping hand, or a shared smile. Love is tiny gestures. I can breathe in the air that the whole world shares and know that all creatures are made from the same stardust. Love is connection. When the clouds roll in, for others and for me, I know now there is something I can do. I can let my heart lead the way. I am love. You are love. We are love. And with love, we will weather the storm and light up the sky together. That's, I think, a wonderful example of compassion and so many simple things that we can do every day. Equity and justice take this concept even further. It is not just our acting individually towards other individuals, but to groups of people. Equity is noticing and responding when a group of people is in pain and suffering. And if you think about it, justice is then the next step beyond that. justice is successfully changing the policies, practices, and institutions that created the longstanding suffering in the first place. You may have all heard of the anecdote of equality, equity, and justice conveyed in pictures of small kids who can't see over the fence. I think this is a very good example of what reality is right now, what equality means, and why equality is not necessarily the answer. You can put everybody on the same level box, but there's still going to be people that it's not raising up to be able to share and participate equally. Equity is making sure that you've got different opportunities to make sure everybody can participate equally. And then there's justice. It's that dismantling so that there's no barriers in the way. This metaphor is simple and pretty straightforward, but other opportunities to work towards equity may not be so clear. And sometimes the inequities that we see exist seem so great that we don't even know where to start. I would propose that the place to start is with those action words that make up, or that comprise compassion, learning, noticing, feeling, and responding. In day-to-day life, this may manifest in different ways to different people, but here are a couple examples I could come up with. It may mean taking steps like recognizing the ancestral history of the land you live on and learning about that history. I live on the traditional land of the Samish and Coast Salish, by the way. It may mean making a conscious effort to support local and national businesses owned and run by people of color. It may mean listing lived experience on job postings as even more important than education and not requiring a minimum level of education. It may mean noticing how many of our nation's policies disproportionately affect populations that have traditionally suffered prejudice and inequality, people of color, women, low-income people, and advocating to change them. Examples include parts of our tax code, our archaic family leave laws, and of course, the new ruling by the Supreme Court limiting and not expanding women's rights. Justice in step is a successful dismantling of policies and practices that are inequitable. Examples include the guarantee of certain freedoms and rights, putting in place policies that don't put the burden of climate change entirely on future generations, rehabilitation that tries to get out the root cause of crime, having Election Day be a federal holiday with free transportation in order to limit the barriers for everybody to be able to vote. Those are examples of justice, just a few. These can seem daunting, but I will argue that the first steps, the day-to-day steps, come back to compassion and those four action words that comprise it: learning, noticing, feeling, and responding. So these are some examples of what compassion, equity, and justice look like day to day, but it can be so darn difficult to live them and make them a reality. When it comes to equity and justice, obviously people come with vastly different opinions on what is equitable and just. And there are people for whom equity has even become a dirty word. But even if we all agreed, it would still take a lot of time and effort to change structures, policies, and institutions. And I don't want to dwell today on those societal barriers. I want to go back to the individual level and examine the reasons why it can be difficult to be compassionate, because that may also give us clues as to why it is hard to work towards equity and justice. In my own personal life, I have identified three things that often get in the way of my own compassion: anger, fear, and inflexibility. It's very hard to be compassionate when you are angry at someone or at yourself, if you feel you've been wronged or done something wrong. It is extremely hard to put aside anger and resentment and recognize that whatever was done or said to make you angry probably came from a deep place of pain. It takes a lot to put that feeling aside, to show compassion to the person suffering, even or especially if that person is yourself. Different people may have different ways of dealing with anger. For my part, I find that focusing on recognizing that the action that made me angry came from a place of pain is what helps me to put it aside. Second, fear. Remember, the root of the word compassion is suffering with another, or co-suffering. From my perspective, the thought of co-suffering is very scary. I am afraid I will be swept down with the suffering and it will become my own. What it has taken time for me to realize, and I'm still realizing, is that it is the compassion itself that can help buoy not just the other person, but myself as well. This is true not just on an individual level, but when it comes to being compassionate towards many people. you've probably heard of the concept of compassion fatigue, which is the depression or hopelessness that comes from serving in a profession or vocation when you're caring or supporting for others. It is very real, and there is a reason to fear it, because it sucks hope and motivation and a feeling of purpose out of you. And I think the best way to counteract compassion fatigue, at least from my perspective, is to ensure that we're taking care of ourselves and refilling our own tanks. Third, inflexibility. I have a tendency to get narrowed vision when I'm focusing on a task or prioritizing something. Sometimes I don't look up and see that someone needs my attention. Sometimes I see that they may need my attention, but I don't want to get distracted from my task or my mission at that moment. Or sometimes it's just so hard to break habits and patterns of behavior. And you can see the parallel in all of that at the societal, at the community level as well. If you think about it, any of these three things can be applied at the societal level. Just as anger, fear, and inflexibility are getting in the way of my compassion on an individual level, so they can apply at the greater level. And the key to making progress, I think, is going back to those action words: learning, noticing, feeling, and responding. By taking these actions individually and in our communities and world, maybe we can turn the tide of the empire that Mary Oliver spoke of, in which hearts were small, hard, and full of meanness. Instead, we can start individually at home to build hearts that are big, soft, and full of compassion.